So we have a special treat today on this July 2nd. Reverend Dave Lyman is an interfaith minister who recently retired as assistant minister at the Spiritual Life Center in Sacramento. He is in his 12th year of ministry, and speaks at churches throughout Northern California. He's accompanied today by his wife, Rachel, who leads an organization called Interfaith Explorers, building bridges between faith traditions. While at SLC, he started a teddy bear ministry. Oh, and his nickname is Tigger. Please welcome Reverend Dave Lyman.
Now, I may be familiar to some of you, and that's because I've been here before, but I've been singing. Alan and I have been singing for over 15 years together, and I just want to out him. That was an Alan Klein original that he just sang. He never tells anybody that, but he writes some beautiful music. So Reverend Maggie sent me an email and said, you know, you keep saying you're an interfaith minister. Why don't you come up and speak? And so I said, sure. And I'm talking this weekend, surprisingly enough, on a topic called freedom to choose, the choices we have. Dr. Ernest Holmes, who founded a religious science, said the road to freedom lies not through mysteries or occult performances, but through the intelligent use of nature's forces and laws. The law of mind is a natural law in the spiritual world. And in talking about freedom to choose, we are in the midst of our 241st year of freedom as a nation. That's pretty amazing that we have the ability to come together like this and choose to worship. One of the things, being a Tigger, I bounce around a lot. And when you did the prayer, it reminded me that there is a book called The Course in Miracles that says, each of you here are vital to this group today. Each of you is a magnificent individual aspect of God expressing and is needed to form this group this morning. And it's so interesting to me that that happens because each group has a different kind of flavor to it. And in that expression of the divine, of who we are, that expressing as God, it's so interesting because we can get caught up trying to convince God or Spirit or be that divine. And you know, the truth of the matter is, as Dr. Holmes has said, we don't need to convince God. God knows how magnificent we are, how we express as human beings. It's our growing consciousness and recognizing that, because things can get in the way. As Reverend Maggie says often, change your thinking and you change your life. And sometimes that change can be so tiny as we do it. Our thinking patterns create our destiny. And it's in places like this that we gather together to reinforce with each other who we are, to remind each other when we forget. Dr. Holmes said about the ego, which is that part of us that can get very confusing, anything that separates us from an understanding that we are one with the whole bars it from coming to self-expression through us. And all we have left is that acquired ego that can submerge us, that can get confusing and step us away from that clarity of mind. He uses the word, it can flounder. We can forget. It can provide a smoke cover, a mirror. So what a perfect weekend to talk about freedom. Fireworks, food, family, friends. 4 days of joy, mirth, merriment, and however we choose, to gather together with it. For some reason, I get caught up in the meals. So my perfect 4th of July meal is 2 hot dogs, potato salad, baked beans, fresh corn, and pie. And as I said that, I know some of you were thinking about your favorite. Because this is a weekend to gather together and celebrate this freedom. We're on the most incredible journey in our lives. And we forget, freedom is not something we're working toward. It's something we have. It's something we are working always on recognizing. It can get caught up with this ego and this confusion. In India, a baby elephant in captivity is tied up with a heavy, heavy cord and a post. And that elephant can twist and turn and try to get away over and over again, and will for a long time. But after a while, that elephant realizes the cord and the post is bigger than it is in terms of strength. And the elephant gives up. And from that point on, the people who have put the elephant into captivity make the cord smaller and smaller and the post tinier until an adult elephant will have a twine around its foot and a tiny piece of wood. In that elephant's mind, it is still unable to break through, even though, in truth, it's not. I've discovered in life the difference for us in terms of personal getting caught up in that confusion of ego and our freedom sometimes is only a piece of twine and a tiny piece of wood. And so that's why I say freedom to choose, because we have freedom everywhere. We actually have freedom to stop at a red light or go at a red light. Now, the consequences are not real good if we go at a red light. But that is true in our lives. We always have the freedom to make choices. And many times it's that self-censor in us. I got into sales a number of years back, not on purpose. Somebody grabbed me and said, "You ought to try this." And realized I was in an industry where 90% of the time people said no. But in sales, you're continually asking the questions. We forget to do that on some of the simplest questions in terms of freedom of who we are. One of our ministers once said, "If there is no communication, there is imagination. And that'll get you into a lot of trouble." So it's that communication, that extra question. I have a couple areas that I use as examples of the freedom we have. And they're not normal. If I spend over $100 on something, I automatically will ask for a 10% discount. Automatically. It doesn't work all the time, but it works often enough, so I keep asking. Because what I've divined through the years of doing this is any manager of any store has the ability to give you 10% off. They may not tell you that, but they do. Our last one, we went to Green Acres. They had a beautiful pagoda. And it was just really a nice pagoda. So I asked the young man if I could get 10% off. And, of course, he was one of the frontline workers. He said, "Oh, no, we can't do that." He said, "You'd have to go to the manager." And so I asked for the manager, who came and looked at it, looked at his inventory, and gave me 10% off. It's asking that question in terms of freedom and not letting our mind go, "Well, you know what? I'm not going to ask the question." That's self-censoring. Another area I do that in is rental cars. See, this is just between you and me. These are our little secrets. It's still enough of us so that if all go out started, it won't cause a real splash. Every time I rent a car, I ask for a free upgrade if they happen to have one. I'm amazed how often I get one. We just traveled to Minnesota, and we got a free upgrade. So we go to family reunions all the time, and I show up in an SUV or a full-size car, and my sister drives up in a Fusion or something the size of a stamp. Finally, a few years ago, she said, "Why is it that I have these little cars and you're driving up in those kind of cars?" I gave her the free upgrade secret. From that point on, she always says, "You wouldn't happen to have a free upgrade, would you?" And now she's showing up in full-size cars. So it does work. And when I come back up here, if any of you try this and it works, be sure to tell me. Because I believe it works everywhere. I always have to take a minute and look because, as my wife says, because I practice my sermons with my wife, when she comes on Sunday and after we get done, she goes, "Where did all that come from?" Freedom is enhanced in our lives with a couple other things. It's enhanced in our lives with gratitude. That truth that we are as expressing people, God is flowing through us, and we, every moment of every day, have such blessings. I get excited because this is the only Sunday, July 2nd, 2017, we will ever have. This is it. And we get to decide what kind of day it is. When we get up in the morning, we get to decide. And that includes if we get up in the morning and decide this is going to be a glorious day and walk out to a flat tire, we can look and go, "This is going to be a glorious day. I get to meet a AAA driver." Or we can wake up and go, "Oh no, another day." And the flat tire just adds to it deeper and deeper. But that attitude to gratitude is recognizing all the thanks that happens to us. Do you realize how many countries there are in this world where you cannot worship like this? Where you do not live in a climate like this? We went overseas and found out that 99 degrees and 99% humidity is not fun. So now when somebody says to me, "But it's a dry heat," I really love that. Because it is a dry heat here. So it's having that attitude of gratitude and recognizing it all the time. I know some friends that actually at the end of the day will go through all the thanks they have for the day. You know, this is an amazing country we live in. This is an amazing state. This is an amazing congregation and the energy, because you have all come together, and the flavor of this is the flavor of each of you. The other choice, the other characteristic, is the thing about miracles. The first time Spiritual Life Center ever had a church service, Reverend Faith Moran, our senior minister at that time, quoted Albert Einstein, who said, "You can have two choices in life. You can choose and look as if nothing is a miracle, or you can choose and look as if everything is a miracle." Everything. The other part he said was the real question for you, below all that. Have you decided this is a friendly universe? And with the wondrous God we have, and the movement into being who we are, fully present, we are filled with miracles. Filled with miracles. So I'm going to give you a couple stories about that. But I want to quote Dr. Holmes one more time. I was not really deeply familiar with Dr. Holmes, and I had a wonderful time reading him in the last few weeks. He said, "The thing we are searching for in our lives is the thing we are searching with." So we are searching for that God that is within us, and we are searching with the God that is within us. It's ever present. It's that God, not so much that I grew up with, who stood with a thunderbolt ready for me to step off the path so that I could go to confession. It's that loving God that sees me complete this very moment just as I am. God is the power of good. So the first story you probably all know, but I'm going to tell it anyway. A fellow was stuck on his rooftop in a flood. Along came a rowboat. The man in the rowboat said, "Jump in, I'll save you." The man said, "Oh no, that's all right. I've been praying, God is going to save me." The rowboat went off. A few minutes later, a motorboat came up. The man in the motorboat said, "Jump in, we can take you out of here." The man said, "No, no, I've been praying to God and God will save me. I have faith." After a while, he heard rotors, and a helicopter came, and a rope dropped down next to him, and a voice yelled out of the helicopter, "Grab the rope, I'll pull you up, we'll save you." He said, "No, no, God will save me, I have faith." And soon the water covered the rooftop, and the man drowned. And it came to the point he went to heaven, and he had a chance to sit with God for a minute. And he said to God, "You know, I prayed to you and we had such a good connection through life. I had so much faith, but you didn't show up to save me." And God looked at him and said, "I sent a rowboat and a motorboat and a helicopter. What more did you want?" That miracle that's right in front of us that we don't see. It's recognizing that and opening and knowing that if it gets a little confusing, it's time to slow down as we did earlier today for that clarity. And it will hit you out of nowhere. Back in June of 2001, I was in Chico. I was going to a wedding. It was the night before the wedding, a Friday night, and I was there with a friend. And she and I were looking for a restaurant. We had an address, but we were fairly lost. And it was a summer night in Chico, so the place was covered with people. Everywhere there were groups of students walking. And she and I were about an hour into a debate about how do we know that God really loves us? How do we know that? Because we can get into doubt about it. And this group of students walked up, about five or six. The young man said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I looked at him and said, "Well, not until you give me directions to this restaurant." So he looked, and he went through the whole thing about how to do it down this way and that way. Handed it back to me. And he looked at me and he said, "I want you to know for a fact that I know God loves you." And then he said, "Have a great night," and walked off. My friend and I looked at each other and burst into laughter, and I actually threw my hands up and go, "We get it. Come on." That's the miracles of life that happen every day. That's the freedom to choose we have. It is recognizing that the presence is always there. It seems to me that God pretty much leaves us alone a lot of the time. Because what we're searching for, we're searching with, and it's all within us. And it's doing those things that open us to that freedom of choice, whatever they may be, because each of us have a personal way to do it. It's praying after the service with a practitioner. It's coming here. It's having a plate of hot dogs and potato salad. It's whatever it is that opens us to that next level. The biggest thing is to remember we have that choice. And most of the time, just about the time we find God that next level, we find ourselves that individualized, magnificent representation that we are. Thank you for the opportunity of speaking today.